you can set up the game however you want, but if you're not using the ball well enough, teams are just going to burn you on the way back.
That's the caper we're in. Results aren't there. There's high turnover of staff and players, and that's the reality of it.
Most teams are going out there to get 4 points more than thinking, oh, we're going to put on a genuine show.
What I always say when we get a punishment session at 6 a.m. at the beach, yeah, we're getting the beach in, but we're losing the best part of our recovery with sleep.
There's one thing you learnt in footy is that pre-game speeches don't do much.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Great to have your company on the Inner Sanctum on a Wednesday morning at 25 to 8. Brendan Goddard after 8, Brad Haddon as well. Kelsey Brown to join us still on the Breakfast Club. But Isaac Smith, the champ from the Hawks, has been good enough to join us ahead of a big week for him. Game number 200 on the weekend. Good morning, Isaac.
Morning, Arthur. Looks like a bigger week for you, or a bigger day.
Why do you say that?
Well, I've never seen you in a nicely pressed white shirt on a Wednesday
sharp
morning.
It's a bit intimidating, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a work sharp to do. Just stepping things up.
You got here, cash money going on.
No, not cash money. Okay, I wish. I wish cash money. Not as much as you'll be getting next year, wherever you are. And the football world, we'll talk about that shortly. But it's a big week. Game number 200. Where's your press conference?
It was yesterday, huh? It was scheduled the same time as Jordan Lewis's. And I think we worked out who's more important in the competition.
Well, hang on. Clarko was at Jordan's.
Yeah, Clarko was at Jordan's. The media at Jordan's.
A few would have rocked up for yours, though.
Nah, don't be silly.
Did you have anyone rock up?
Yeah, one. Club strategically placed it in the time slot that Jordan placed his. I think I know where I would have went as well.
Was that intentional? Were you saying that was an intentional thing?
No, I don't think it was intentional.
It just
might have been the way it worked out.
Stop people asking questions about your future. We'll put a press conference on at the same time.
Yeah, it could have been a smart thing to do.
200 games, Isaac.
Yeah.
That's a lot of games. I'm not sure the percentage of the population. Maybe 9%. I'll try and do some numbers on the AFL population that ever get to that number. It's a bloody good effort.
Yeah, it's all right.
That's it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's only just another game and see how
well,
we go.
Yeah, this one is just another game, but the fact that you've been able to play it and coming in late.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of elements and layers to your story that I think many people admire, and 200 games is a great achievement. You should be very proud of yourself, young man.
Yeah, well, I was playing country footy at 21.
Yeah.
So to get 200 by 30 is a pretty good effort, I guess. Been lucky, I haven't missed too many games, probably only missed 10 or 15 over 9 years of football. So. Yeah, when you look back on it and think back about it, it's pretty nice, but hopefully a few more to come, Half.
Well, I would like to see that.
Take us back to that time, because you didn't have the traditional pathway to be an AFL footballer. So when you're playing local footy at 19, playing VFL at 21, did you dream to play AFL, or just sort of fall into your lap sort of thing? What was it like time?
Not particularly. As a kid, I used to dream to play AFL footy, but once I sort of missed the boat at 18, I didn't think it was on the cards. Not that I missed the boat. I wasn't involved in any representative stuff, so I wasn't even on the boat to miss the boat or on the wharf to miss the boat.
No tickets for that either.
Yeah, I was still inland. Couldn't even get to the water. But, mate, it wasn't on my radar at all. And I thought my last year of country footy was going to be my last year of footy. I was working in sport. I just studying sports management and thought I'd be working in sport. So I just took the approach that I was going to go and have fun and play with three or four of my best mates. And before I knew it, I was playing in a VFL grand final and then drafting the first round of the AFL draft, which was a little bit of a surprise to me, but probably more of a surprise to everyone else around me.
I know you've told this story before, but it's sort of apt to talk about again as you play 200th. Just that whole thing of the whirlwind of being a VFL player and then going first round in the draft. When did you get a suspicion that, hang on a sec, my life could be about to change?
I think every week in the VFL finals. So we had 3 weeks in the VFL finals, and each week I came in around with the recruiters, I was getting told. So first week we started, I was going to be rookie before the finals started. That was going to be third round, that was going to be second round, and then we played the grand final and I got told I'd go first round. So, it was an interesting time. But I sort of approach that the way I approach most things. Don't get too worked up about it all.
And the last question on this, I'm hogging it and I apologise, but
that's all right.
Does your approach to football, do you think your approach is different because you've had it a different way? Because often the talk is about maybe you lift the draft age to 19 or, you know, the maturity levels of 17-year-olds getting drafted versus your situation. Has it? Do you think you have a different philosophy on football or being a professional athlete as a result of what you've gone through?
Yeah, I think so. I think a little bit. You see some guys are so institutionalised because they've been going through the program since they're under 12s pretty much.
Mm.
So they've come all the way through and then they get into the AFL system and, yeah, the only experience they've had in life is football. And I think that's not a good thing. And I'm one of the people that is saying the draft age should be lifted. I think you get better results as well. You'd actually find out the players who want to be there and play. You'd also have players with more education behind them, players that have had different experiences, and not just been tied to football clubs their whole life. So I reckon you get a better result all around.
Well, and you're taking your usual low-key approach to things, trying to downplay it. Is that an intentional thing?
Not necessarily.
It's just you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you, and for the game coming, the 200th, is that how you'll approach it? Or what does the club do kind of internally to celebrate those milestones?
Probably not too much for me because we're playing over in Perth final round of the year. So it's a bit of a difficult one, but they'll do a little, the boys will do something and we'll have a little bit of a chat about it and then we'll just go out and play.
It's quite a remarkable, I'm just going through your stats here, quite a remarkable start to a career. The first 5 years, the first year was a prelim and then the next five were grand, next four were grand finals. It's a good start to an AFL career.
Yeah, it was a great start. I was going with a great percentage. I won seven flags. Played in 9 grand finals in 11 years. And then the last 3 years have just taken a downturn, Whitey.
It's not over just yet. Still in a bit of a chance this weekend in Perth against the Eagles, which won't be easy, of course. But going back to the weekend that was with Ruff, clearly there was a great celebration the way the game was played and everyone was looking for Ruff and you were certainly one of those.
Yep.
And had a big smile on your dial most of the afternoon. What was it like for to be a part of that? Because Ruff's been such a huge part of the footy club. Captain, obviously, what he's been through off the field as well. What was it like the week of being a part of the Jared Ruffhead week?
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed because we said we're going to get him 10 goals and he only got 6-1. So it didn't quite work out the way we wanted it to. But the week was awesome. Starting in Canberra in the snow, where we had a hell of a lot of fun, and then building into Ruffy's game. I think there's still room for stuff like that in football, and we saw on the weekend how much the Hawthorn fans especially appreciated it. And I think we get lost sometimes in football, purely on wins and losses, but something like that I think was brilliant for our football club, and people remember that for many years to come. And I know Ruffy certainly will, and the players that got to play in the game, and then everyone else that was involved in the game will certainly remember it. And I think it was great theatre, it was great entertainment, and for him to kick a goal with a minute to go, put the icing on the top.
That was a cracker too, that one. That was his best one, his sixth
one. Well, he did a tackle about 30 seconds before that, and it certainly wasn't holding the ball, but I just gave it to the umpire and said, mate, you obviously haven't read the script.
I do remember that.
Like, if you're ever going to give a free kick, just give it.
And then after that tackle, he was still just kneeling on the ground.
On the ground, he was too.
I thought that was it for him for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Was he always going to play? Because, you know, Clarko had been quite cryptic in the build-up to it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I must confess, when I saw Mitchell Lewis get hurt late in the game in Canberra, I thought, well, here's the golden opportunity for him. But was that always going to happen?
I don't necessarily think he was always going to play, but I think everything just fell perfectly for him to play. So, yeah, I'm not 100% sure of the conversations that were going on, but, yeah, I don't think it was 100% locked that he was going to play.
And then to not play again this week, with Mitchell Lewis again ruled out already, are you comfortable with that that's the perfect finish, or was there some of you thinking, geez, he might help us beat West Coast? What's your view on that?
Yeah, I think it was probably left in Ruffy's hands, that decision, and he's decided probably not to play. I don't know 100% who made the decision, but I think Ruffy also knows what he's got left in his body, and to go out 6-1 at Etihad with, we possibly would have had 5,000 fans there and 35,000, 40,000 rocked up on Sunday. So, yeah, I think it's probably the right way to go out.
Ran out of food half.
Well, so you were saying it. It's got a gully. Might have picked up on that the score yesterday.
Oh, I know people there, so I'll sort that out.
Well, it was an incredible thing to watch. It really was. And now we've got Jordan Lewis going through it as well. You've had such great times with both of those players. Is it a different feeling with Ruffy as opposed to Jordan? We were talking about this before because Jordan has moved on to Melbourne.
Yeah, I think certainly. I think Ruff had the fortune of staying at the club, I guess. And Louis and Hodgie and Mitch, they ended up elsewhere. And they probably don't end with the same, hysteria maybe around it?
Fanfare.
Yeah.
Ruffy
was lucky and he got that opportunity. But as you said, I think it gets lost a little bit, especially Louis and Sam Mitchell's retirements. They sort of just go off into the, can't even think of that word.
So much sunset, that Sam missed the photo in the rooms before the game with all the guys that had won.
Yeah.
Oh, he was. Where was he coaching?
He was in the coach, you know, coach's room having a pre-game meeting, and they forgot to get him for the photo.
So I think, it's disappointing for those guys, but it's lucky and great that Ruffy got the opportunity.
And having Hodgie and Bud in the rooms, was it awkward at any stage, or was that just almost feel normal?
Oh, not really. It just felt normal, really. They've been around the club for so long that even though they've gone to other clubs, I don't think Hawthorn can ever forget how great they've been to them. And I'm sure they'll always be welcome.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. They'll always be welcome. 14 to 8, as will you. You've got more to go, though. 14 to 8, Isaac Smith is with us in the Inner Sanctum today. The Hawks are building up to a big clash against the Eagles Saturday night at Optus Stadium in Perth, and it's still on the line.
Exclusive access behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
10 to 8 on The Breakfast Club on a Wednesday morning. Great to have Isaac Smith with us from the Hawks in the Inner Sanctum today. He's got his game number 200 coming up this weekend against West Coast over in Perth on Saturday night. The Hawks still all to play for. And we've been talking, we discussed the Canberra situation before with Sherelle. How cold it was. New Blacks seem to be having a hell of a time. Last week against the Gold Coast, you play with a real freedom and joy about you, frivolity about you, and you played really well against the Gold Coast Suns, a different level of opposition, I suppose. But is there an element of just getting out there, just having a good time, Isaac, that we're taking into Perth this week?
I think, we've taken a great attitude in the last probably 3 or 4 weeks of football, and it's turned out all right for us, especially the Canberra game. There wasn't much we could do, so we just had a lot of fun with it. And then on the weekend, we had a lot of fun as well. It seemed to work for us, so I think we might take that same approach this week.
It does seem to make sense, and you said before about players being institutionalised from under 12s, getting through pathways and been so rigid and structured in their football view. But having that element of freedom and fun does seem to affect your group possibly more than others.
Yeah, I think it does, and I reckon if you measured society in most things, if they're happy, they'd perform better in a lot of things.
Yep.
Then if they take the really serious, I've got to be angry approach, I would think.
Yeah.
It certainly works for me.
Seems to work for you pretty well. Do you, have you done the numbers on what needs to happen this week?
Yeah, we need to win.
Yes, that is correct. That is 100%
correct.
And
Bulldogs need to lose. And I think we're on about the same percentage, so if we win and they lose, we're all right.
You get to toss the coin.
Yeah.
The percentage is the same.
That's the standard of my mathematics.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll hold it there. Wayne in Seymour's giving us a call on 1300 652 927. Good morning to you, Wayne.
Good morning, Daniel, Adam and Cheryl. How are you?
Good
morning.
That's my dad.
Good morning, Isaac.
Is this your dad?
Yeah.
Wayne, are you Wayne Smith?
I'm Wayne the Wombat Smith.
Yes. Wayne the Wombat Smith. Great to have you with us.
Very good.
How proud are you of your son this week?
I reckon Whitey's teed this up.
You're checking your phone.
I don't know what's
going on. Real.
I actually met Whitey at Mount Arthur Golf Course.
We did. That's
ago.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
And I said to him very briefly, "Who do you follow? Do we son in football?" And he said, "My son's a Hawthorn supporter. His favourite player is Isaac Smith." And I said, "Well, I've got news for you, kid. Isaac's our man." And I did admire Adam that day because he had to walk around that 9 holes with his son. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. A lot of patience shown. Very proud of Isaac. no father could have a greater son, and very proud of just the way he dealt with all the things that happen in football, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. It's so many footballers these days can't cope with the stress and all that goes on, and I've seen Isaac do some magnificent things off the field as well as on the field, but for example, he was there with Brett Ratten during his darkest hours. He's been done so many good things for other footballers without anyone knowing. But he's had great people around him. You know, obviously, Alice is an excellent coach, but he's had certainly Brett and Andrew Russell and Chris Fagan and even people off the ground like originally Jason Burt, Cam Matthews at the present time. So he's been very lucky at Hawthorn, but I think Hawthorn have been very lucky to have him as well.
I was just talking to Isaac before about when he thought that the AFL football dream might be alive and when it may have sort of flickered out with him going through such an untraditional pathway program. As a father, what did you think he had that in him as a young age when he was in country New South Wales?
When I said to Isaac when he was younger, I used to coach him and Luke in juniors, and then he teamed up with Manny Suckling, and I said to Isaac, you've got something that you can't teach your football brain on the field, and he's got that. I think people don't realise how extraordinary football brain is, because he's really the director on the ground for Hawthorn. Well, that's my opinion.
This is what Dad speaks.
and I think that I remember when we were at Ballarat, we used to drive down from Cootamundra and, take 7.5 hours. And I remember he said to me once, "Hi, Dad, I think my dream's over." And I said, "Mate, never say never. You never know." The next week or 2 weeks, we came back. I remember watching him in the replay of the Bredin versus East Grand Final. Was on the weekend of the East weekend, and it was at one of the grounds in Ballarat. And I was standing below the commentators in the radio box. And Isaac took, he probably doesn't remember this, but he took the ball from the back pocket, bounces all the way down to the ground, hand passed it over the head of the full back to the full forward, and the full forward kicked the goal. And I'm standing below the radio box, and they went silent. And the guy said, "Did you see that?" And I went, "Oh, Jesus, Isaac's got it, but he's too old." And that's what I thought at the time. Because you know what the AFL's like, you've got to be, a 25, you're an old player these days. It's quite ridiculous. And so then I just went, "Oh my God, he's got it, but he's too old." And then a couple of weeks later, we went down there. We arrived at midnight to his place where him and his mates were living, and he had a
wasn't the most elite setup.
Have you ever had to pull him into line, Wombat? Anyway, man with the name Wombat surely has got a pull him into line story. Has he got ahead of himself?
No, not really. He's just keeping in line pretty straight. He's got three very strong-willed sisters and also Candice. Yeah, they don't really get away with much.
Nothing.
So no, he hasn't changed since he's become an AFL superstar?
No. That's one thing about Isaac. If you take football or any sport too seriously, I think that's when you see so many people fall away. But no, he's a team. He loves team, and he even sent a message to one of the local kids' teams here playing on the weekend for St Mary's, under 14s, who hadn't apparently been in the team for years. And he said, "Boys, it's all about, they were worried about who they were playing." He said, "You worry together, you go out together, you go off together." And that's the beauty of a team sport.
And what about Isaac? You've got your dad on the line. You're talking about driving you 7.5 hours to play a game of footy and things like that. The impact that he's had and your family have had, because of coming up in such unique circumstances of living in country New South Wales to do what you're doing. I mean, what are the impact of your whole family been?
Yeah, I was very lucky. Mum and Dad are extremely enthusiastic with whatever us kids have decided to do. And they've always sacrificed a hell of a lot. But growing up in country New South Wales, I remember we used to drive to Griffith, which I think was 3 or 4 hours away. We'd be in Sydney, which was 3 or 4 hours away. Anywhere you wanted to go and play sport, you hear Victorians complain when they've got an away game, which is half an hour, because everywhere in Victoria is so close. But in New South Wales, if you want to play a game of football, you can be travelling up to 5 or 6 hours. So, it just became natural to hop in the car and go, but Mum and Dad were always the ones up at the crack of dawn taking us everywhere. We used to have to drive 1 hour and 10 minutes to training every Tuesday and Thursday night there and back. So, we were so lucky as a family, and I'm very fortunate to have the parents that I've had.
Wombat, is he flying you across?
Beg your pardon?
Is he flying you across to Perth?
Oh, yeah, we're going over there, which is good. And, it'll be a great occasion. But I'm just as much wrapped for Isaac that he's going to run out there. It's a really wonderful, he's got some great mates, and kind of been very good to him. But he's Liam Shields and all these guys that he's played with who are really wonderful people. They're wonderful human beings, and he's going to be so excited. And just knows that, 200 games is a big call, but he's also very lucky because he didn't start playing until he's 22, so
yeah.
he's got a lot left in that body.
Well, we hope so, and we appreciate you getting on board this morning and giving us a bit more of an insight into the young man in front of us. Good on you, Wombat. We'll chat soon.
See you, boys.
Good stuff. Bye. Wayne Insimmel, Wayne Smith, the Wombat.
That's the first time I reckon I've seen you really rattled.
I was rattled. I was sweating.
You're checking your phone.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, Whitey's teeth up enough here.
The apple hasn't fallen far from the tree, I don't think. Isaac, explains a lot. Speaking of your dad, I must admit, explains a lot. That's good. Well, I didn't know that was happening, I must admit, so that's good to have little surprises like that around the corner. And as your dad said, and as we said before, it's a big occasion. You clearly won't think about it like that at this stage because you've got work to do and you've got to win the game. But 200 games is a great achievement. You should be very proud, and we're rapt to have you a part of our world. Good luck on the weekend.
Thanks, Arf, and good luck with that cashy today.
I hope it's light. Cold, hard cash would be nice. Heaps coming up after 8. Brendan Goddard, Brad Haddon, and Kelsey Brown.